A reading from Revelation. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, the festival of dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple, in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe me, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And a happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers, our grandmothers, and those who have been mothering figures, mentors, and mothers to fur babies. A special shout out to my mother, who might or might not be watching this. I am her little know-it-all chickadee. That's why I have trouble admitting publicly when I might not know something. So here's a shot. I'm almost clueless on how to raise sheep. I say almost because our resident good shepherdess, Pastor Jennifer preached last week on how sheep may safely graze and thrive in wide open fields, eating 8 hours a day. All that I know about raising livestock comes from three very distinct sources. First and foremost, I'm a millennial. I learned about livestock from a popular Saturday morning cartoon called Cow and Chicken. Second, my grandparents, Don Juan Manuel and Doña Aurora, showed me all that there is to goat farming, farm to table style. Third, and the most recent, was an experience I had during the year I spent as a minister in training in a small German Texas town with its small wooden German Lutheran church. The town was called Nordheim. Here's an interesting aside. Apparently, Kim Williams, Flora in our choir, and Rodney Koenig have kin in those parts of Texas. Now, I love everything about this little town, from the flocks of peacocks on the sides of the road, to the okra grown in these giant molasses feed tubs, to the friendly regulars that I got to know at the local restaurant turned bar turned supper club. I loved how this little town stood up to the Railroad Commission to stop the creation of a fracking waste dump site less than a mile from the town. Sadly, they lost that battle. But most of all, what I loved is something I never thought I would have loved, which was the pride that the teens had of the local high school in raising their livestock. I remember one livestock show, it was 6 years ago in February. I had entered the show barn from the Caliche Road with my clerical collar, cowboy boots, and 10-gallon hat. As I took my seat, I saw all the kids of that little old Lutheran church right there in their finest Western wear, parading around their hogs and their steers and the sheep. Only one thing came to my mind at that moment. How did the judges figure out which one was going to win? They all look kind of the same. One sheep after another sheep after another sheep. They all look the same. Then I remember what this one member of that Lutheran church told me when they saw me visibly confused. The judge does not blindly select the livestock. He or she took the time over the past several years to get to know the contestants and to see how they treated their livestock. Apparently, this was less about winning and more about how best to take care of the creatures in their charge. That's what it means to be a good farmer or a good shepherd, to do everything in one's power to make sure that each sheep in the whole flock have exactly what they need. The Jewish people who surrounded Jesus during the festival of dedication wanted to see for themselves if he was that kind of shepherd. They heard how he attended to the needs of his cousins at their wedding by turning water into wine. How he had asked his disciples to make sure that 5,000 folks who had been following them the whole day not only ate, but had their fill of fishes and loaves. All of them saw how Jesus took the time to get to know two different men with their own lifelong medical conditions before he healed them. Remember, one of them had been paralyzed for 38 years, and the other one was born blind. When they saw these signs, they immediately thought of the prophecies of Jeremiah and Isaiah about a mighty, caring ruler, a shepherd king, who would come from the lineage of David and establish a never-ending reign on earth. This ruler would embody all the values and the gifts spoken of in our most treasured of Psalms. We can all recite it by memory, perhaps. The Lord is my I shall not. Believers and believers and non-believers alike, Christians and Jews, white, brown, black, gay, straight, trans, each stanza of this psalm pursues all of us in every moment of our lives, and especially when we're facing medical procedures or the uncertainty of medical treatment, or as we commend those that are about to die. This image of the Good Shepherd transcends our very faith and speaks to this universal desire that we need something greater than us, like a mothering figure, to shelter us in her arms, to walk with us as we journey through the valley of the shadow of death. This image is the very light of faith, hope, and love in a world obscured by the growing clouds of bigotry, fascism, and hatred. What we need in this life, beyond all pretense to power, prestige, and wealth, is this shepherding God. A good shepherd who does not let any single one of us go from her loving arms. Even as we see families being torn apart by governmental agencies. A shepherd who will guide us, hold us by the hand, and lead us to places where we will find everything we need. Even as we see people in positions of power take away the social safety nets that our seniors, that the poor, that those with all kinds of health conditions need. There are far too many Christians who, with the same mouth that they use to pray Psalm 23, also support the ways that mistreat and cause fear in the lives of so many undocumented people in our nation. We cannot say that this is the kind of future that our Good Shepherd is guiding us. So where are we going? Where is the Good Shepherd leading us? Jesus told the Jewish people surrounding him on that day not to expect from him to give them a direct answer. He told them, look around you. There are signs. He said, see how the poor and the alien and the sick and what Jesus has done for them. Ask yourself, where are the hungry? They are the ones inviting the outcasts and the sinner to dine with them in a feast that abounds in love. Wherever lives are being restored in mind, body, soul, and heart, there are footprints of the Good Shepherd. Peter and the beloved disciple saw the clear sign, an empty tomb, the sting of death gone, a Good Shepherd raised from the dead. Thumb through the pages of this gospel, and you will see story upon story of the Good Shepherd taking care of everyone according to their needs. And this story is not just contained in this gospel. Jesus continues to expand the witness of this gospel in all that he's doing in you, with you, and through you, at this table, at this font. Whenever we feed and care and uplift the dignity of every single person, there is the warm embrace of our Good Shepherd restoring our collective soul. That is what we so desperately need as this age grows cold and hope seems to die. When many of us saw that white smoke on Thursday and heard about the election of this Chicago Pope, we felt hope rising. And we Lutherans share in this hope, as many of our synods will be listening for the spirit of the Good Shepherd. Call bishops and a presiding bishop to lead. May the Good Shepherd guide us as we continue to make our churches spaces where all of us can be restored in this time of uncertainty. We are in the shepherd's hand. What else do we need? So maybe I do know a little bit about raising sheep and shepherds. I think what I wanted most of all when I walked up to the winners of the Nordheim Livestock Show was maybe to have some insightful words. I think what mattered that day went beyond anything that I could have said. Here were these teens spending their lives feeding, tending, handling all manner of creatures with loving care. Here was a chapter in the Gospel of the Good Shepherd. Where is the Good Shepherd leading you today?